Time to open up your Bibles to John chapter 20. John chapter 20 is where we're going to begin this morning in our study. As students of God's Word, I know you'll examine those things to be so and then make those applications to your life as needed. And if there be something I say that you feel has not in harmony with the Scriptures, please bring that to my attention. I will go re-examine that, and if you're correct, I'll make those changes. I've made changes before, and I can make changes again. So the most important thing is we follow the Word of God. Now again, Lila goofed me up this morning. She didn't ask me what my lesson was. I was all prepared. So I guess she either found out at home, or she just slipped her mind because she's been on vacation. I don't know. My lesson today is faith, one letter at a time. Very simple lesson, but it's going to take all our effort to apply it. Faith, one letter at a time. Simple to remember, more difficult to apply. So let's go right into the lesson. We start with the F, focus to Christ. That makes sense, doesn't it? If we talk about faith, our faith is in who? It's in Christ, so we have to focus to Christ. Now, the reason we start with the book of John chapter 20 is we wouldn't know anything about Christ except for the teachings of this book. So let's look at John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31, if you will. And truly, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. The only way we have the opportunity to believe is by faith. And of course, faith comes by the word of God. Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So when we look at this, to focus to Christ, it begins by going to this book. Because this book teaches us about Jesus Christ. None of us are old enough that we're here when he was on this earth. Now, when we talk about focusing to Christ, I want to add a few more verses why that's so important. We need to focus to Christ because, as we have recorded in John 14 and verse 6, Jesus states there, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." Okay, that's very clear. Though sometimes people don't want to hear that, but the only way to God the Father is through Christ. And we learn about Christ by the standard of faith, God's Word. Why do we focus to Christ? Well, because in John chapter 6, let's go to John chapter 6 and verse 68. In John chapter 6 and verse 68, we have recorded for us here, as we learn, that's when a lot of disciples quit following Jesus. Jesus talked, and his disciples, Peter, said, verse 68, "But Simon Peter answered him, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life.'" Now again, he has the words of eternal life, and we learn about these words in this book. So when we talk about faith, it begins with focus. Just a few more passages before we move on. Turn with me, if you will, to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 4, beginning in verse 8, we have recorded for us here, chapter 4, verse 8. "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers of the people and elders of Israel,'" look verse 9, "'for if we this day are judged for the good deed done for this helpless man, by what means he has been made well.'" I want to stop at verse 9. You know, we read these things, and sometimes we don't piece it together in our heads. The man he's spoken is speaking of is back to chapter 3. Real quickly, if you go back to chapter 3 and verse 2, it's a certain man who was lame from birth. This is the man who he healed. Now, another interesting point on that we sometimes tend to forget, if you go to 4 and verse 22, and 4 and verse 22, it said, "For the man, this man who he healed, was over 40 years old." Now that's interesting, because we're talking about when Peter healed this man. This is a man who was known by the people because he was at the same place every day begging. And he was over 40 years old, so of course the people knew who he was, and Peter healed him. And it was, in fact, the man was with them, which was a notable miracle that they could not deny. So now let's go back to chapter 4. And chapter 4, verse 10, let it be known to you all that to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man stands here before you whole. This is the stone which was rejected by you builders, which has become the chief cornerstone. Now here's the summation. Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we might be saved. How is there salvation? Focusing to Christ. So when we talk about faith, you start out with who? You start out with Christ. You have to focus upon him. One more passage on that, and then we'll go on in Acts chapter 10 and verse 36. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 36, we have recorded for us there, the word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Christ, through Jesus Christ. He is what? He is Lord of all. Whether you recognize him or not, he's still the Lord. He's still the one with authority. So when I look at this topic of faith, the foundation is Jesus Christ. Faith focused to Christ. A. This becomes a little more difficult. See, the first is just the acknowledgement of who he is. This one now involves our action, and that's our aim to please Christ. You know, it's real easy for people to focus and say, yeah, Christ is Lord. Yes, God sent the Son. But now this A means to please him. Remember, we need to put on Christ. Galatians chapter 3. Let's go to Galatians chapter 3 and verses 26 and 27. For you're all children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Okay, let's take a step back. We started with F, focus to Christ. Why do we do that? Because he's God's Son, he's the only way to God, he's the only way of salvation, and he is the Lord. It's important to focus to Christ. But if I'm really going to focus to Christ, and I'm glad you're here today, it's not limited to this 1 hour we're together here. That's the problem in our society. We have a very shallow concept of faith. We have a very shallow concept of Christ. Because as we focus to Christ, we do so with the aim to please Christ. Well, we look in Galatians 3, 26 and 27. We please Christ by obeying him. And how do we do that? By submitting to the standard of faith. Now, as we do that, let's go to a few examples. In Acts chapter 8, verses 35, we're all familiar with this. It goes and tells us here, beginning in verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth, talking about the eunuch here, and began at this scripture and preached Jesus to him. That's the wise thing to do, because who do we need to focus on? Christ. Who did he preach? Jesus. But now we're talking about aim, our aim to please Christ. We go to verse 36. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. The eunuch went his way rejoicing. Faith. F, focus to Christ. Who's Philip preaching? Christ. A what? You have to aim to please Christ. How did the eunuch aim to please Christ? See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Notice who's the primary character on both of these? Jesus Christ. Let's go to another passage. In Acts chapter 18 and verse 8. Acts chapter 18 and verse 8. Faith, one letter at a time. We have recorded here, then Crispus, the ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his household, and many of the Corinthians hearing, what did they hear? The word of God. What would that be about? Jesus Christ. Believing and were baptized. Makes sense, doesn't it? You put Christ on the pedestal where he belongs, you focus to Christ, not just now, but daily. The first thing you're going to do is you want to be in Christ. To be in Christ, you're baptized. Most of us in this audience have done that. Some have not. So you have to ask yourself the question, why not? Again, I'm not here to pressure you. I wish there were some passages that said we could pressure, because I come and bodily bring you. But I can't do that. It's got to be your choice, because faith is a personal choice of conviction, putting Christ first and living for him. But it doesn't stop, brethren. Most of us haven't been baptized. It doesn't stop at baptism. You see, when we talk about faith, after we're baptized, after we focus to Christ, after we put on Christ, we need to walk in newness of life. Let's go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Okay, talking about died to sin. He's going to explain that, verses 3 and 4. Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ, remember we went to Galatians 3, 26 and 27, were baptized into his death. Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so, there's the point, look at that last point, even so we should walk in what? Newness of life. That goes beyond being baptized. When I'm raised out of that watery grave of baptism, I'm to walk. Walk means my conduct. I'm to walk in newness of life. How will I do that? If I am aiming to please Christ, aiming to please him. All right, that being said, let's go to some passages. This is not just sermon material. This is what we need to do. In Galatians chapter 4, Galatians chapter 4 and verse 19. There's no wiggle room here. You don't get to pick and choose. I don't get to pick and choose. We're talking about faith. I need to put him on the pedestal. I need to focus to him. And then I need to aim to please him. Listen to what Paul tells to the Christians at Galatia. My little children, verse 19, chapter 4. My little children for whom I labor in birth until what? Christ is formed in you. Right? What's your aim? My aim is to please Christ. How is that going to happen? By Christ being formed in me. Well, how is that going to happen? Go back to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. In Galatians chapter 2, it gives us the answer there. Paul states, I have been crucified with Christ. When was Paul crucified with Christ? When he was baptized, correct? It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. Okay, that's one's aim, right? It's no longer me, but Christ. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Where does faith come from? The Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. What is my aim? My aim is to please God. Now you can choose not to do that, but let me tell you this. If you've been baptized and you're not living according to this, you're not going to heaven. You say, you have no right to say that. No, the Bible says that. The Bible says that. Doesn't stop at baptism. I think many of us in the Lord's church are simply content that we've been baptized and we show up on Sundays and possibly midweek classes. That ain't going to work. Now, you need to be here on Sundays. You need to be here when we have midweek, but that ain't going to work. When we talk about faith, it's as the idea of aiming to please Christ. Not for 3 or 4 hours, but aiming to please Christ each and every day. Remember, that takes effort on our part. By the way, just like it took efforts on God's part when Christ left heaven to be our sacrifice. So let's not pat ourselves on the back too much. But here again, this is talking about this newness of life. I want people to understand. And if you're here and you're not baptized, I'm not trying to scare you off. But don't think you can be baptized and that's the end of the matter. That's just the beginning. You made a commitment to please Christ. Aim to please Christ. Let's go to another passage. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 and 15. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 14 and 15. We have this as we talk about our aim to please Christ. And here's what it states, verse 14. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, of course we know that's talking about Christ, right? And then all died. In other words, we were all dead. And he died for all, that those who live, how do we live when we put on Christ, should live no longer for themselves, but for him on Sunday morning. And if your Bible says that, throw your Bible away, because it doesn't say that. I'm glad you're here. But for him who died for them and rose again. When? All the time. All the time. When you leave this building, your aim is to please Christ. If you're young and playing sports, I had to tease Ken. We're in a sports lull right now. I'm disappointed because I'm waiting for college football to come back. I'm waiting for professional football to come back. I caught myself watching yesterday the X Games. That's how bored I am. And I'm watching these young people do things I could never do. And I don't know why they want to do it, but they do. I say that to see then, even if you're on that skateboard going up and down, you live in such a way to please Christ. Even if you're, my grandson's gotten a job recently at a fast food restaurant, Chick-fil-A, you'd be the best because you're pleasing Christ because he's a Christian. Even if you go to school, college, or whatever, you live to please Christ. Even when you go to your jobs, you put on Christ and it's your aim to please Christ. I want to ask you a question again, no verbal responses, please, because your verbal response will cause me to have to say some more. So, do you think about that during the week? Do you think about that on Wednesday when you're standing in line? And I do a lot of standing in line because I like going to the grocery store every day. Well, when you're standing in line, 10 items are less. I don't know how hard it is for people to understand that, but they don't. They don't. It doesn't say 10 specific groups of items, so you got 100 items. Well, the other day, going to my daughter's, we had to get one item. 10 items or less, that's my line. I happened to get in a line where a lady had a basket. I'm thinking, how can she not count? She had 10 items or less. She broke it down into three sales. One sale, 8 items. One sale, I don't know how many. But I guess if you totaled them all up, it was 10 in each one. That's not what it's teaching. Now, I say all that to say this. It's easy to get perturbed about something like that. But if I'm focusing to Christ, I can think on something better. Right? First of all, getting perturbed about that is not going to change it. And if I open my big mouth, that's not going to change it. And if I tell the poor cashier because she's not going to say anything, that's not going to change it. And if I run up to the manager, trust me, he's probably got more important things to do than to count each item in the basket going 10 items or less. You get my point, don't you? We waste a lot of our thinking on things that don't amount to anything. Wouldn't it be better for us to be thinking about Christ? Oh, there's something good, right? Maybe as I'm standing in that line, instead of thinking about her, I might be thinking about a passage I just studied. I may be thinking about passages on the tongue. You see my point? Faith, focus to Christ and aim to please Christ. And you aim to please Christ not on just the important things, but on the everyday mundane things that we live with. Again, I can't make you do that. But if you think your totality of religion is coming to services, brethren, you've missed the boat. You know what you're doing? You're playing religion. Quit playing religion and live it by making it your aim every single day to please Christ. Philippians chapter 1, verse 27. Philippians chapter 1. My son teases me because I use Publix a lot. I try to get some of my grandkids to work at Publix, but they won't. I guess I've scared them away. But I really appreciate what they do there because they make it their aim to please the customer. Right? We make it our aim to please the Lord. What do you think is more important? What do you think should be on our mind at all times? Let's go to Philippians 1, verse 27. It tells us here in Philippians chapter 1, verse 27, only let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. We've read that many times, haven't we? And in fact, we slide right over that. And then Wednesday night, we're studying the book of Revelation. Let me ask you, the Christians in the first century, do you think they had it difficult being Christians? Yeah. What does it say? Let your conduct be worthy of the gospel of Christ. Why is that? So that whether I come and see you or I am absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. So it was to be their aim to live in such a way to glorify Christ. And why is that so? Because he's our focus. That was our first letter, focus. So faith, A, aim. Now you're guessing ahead of yourself. Don't guess, because I'm going to come up with some things you're not going to possibly remember. You think, what's I? Well, this is I. Involvement in the body of Christ. Focus to Christ, aim to please Christ, be involved in the body of Christ. Now, why is that important? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's go to Let's go to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18. We have this stated. And he, of course, we know that's Jesus. He is the head of the body, the church. So the body is the church. What are we a part of? We're part of the church, correct? And who's the beginning from the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Remember, we started with faith, following Christ, right? Putting Christ. But now, how do we follow Christ? Well, in this context, we follow Christ to be subjective to him in whose body? In his body, right? He is the head of the body. Well, if I'm not a part of the body, I've got a problem, don't I? But most of us here are part of the body, so we need to be involved. Well, what does that consist of? Well, I knew you'd ask that, so let's go. We go from Colossians 1:18 to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. As we look at this letter I. And here we have recorded for us in verses 25 and 26 that there should be no division in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. Ooh, let's stop it. Got a red light. Let's stop. Same care one for another. Now, I'll have to say this congregation is good. Nobody rushes out the moment the final prayer is given. I've been at congregations where it's like that. Same care one. No, if we have the same care one for another, we need to be involved with one another. And then it goes on to state, and if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, the members rejoice with it. Now, I'm not going to go off into a tangent. I think we are very good to suffer with one another. I think we have to be careful that we're not jealous to have joy with them if something good happens their way. Supposing someone in this congregation inherits $5 million. That's a lot of money. And if you do inherit, don't tell anybody. Just put it in the bank. But there'd be some other members maybe jealous. I don't know why he got that. Well, don't worry about it. She said he can be. Over the years, and there might be a millionaire in this congregation. I don't know, and I don't care, and don't tell me. But I was a part of a congregation that I went back to hold a meeting. I worked with them at one time. And I was informed that they had 3 millionaires in the congregation. And that's good. I'm happy for them. I'm not jealous of them. I hope they use their money well. I hope they do good things. And doing good things, I hope they don't brag about it. Just go ahead and do it, and nobody else has to know. And I'm glad, to my understanding, they're still faithful to this day. That's very good because, you know, when you get money like that, it's very easy to become independent. And they're still dependent upon God. That's a good thing. I'm not jealous of them. Why didn't God give that to me? Well, you know what? God gave you eternal life. And if someone gains financially, good for them. And if someone's kids remain faithful as they grow up, good for them. I had one lady years ago, wait till your kids become teenagers, they're going to go astray. Thank you. Appreciate the advice. And that doesn't have to be the case, does it? What I'm trying to say, I think we have learned how to suffer with one another. We have not learned sometimes how to be happy with one another when something goes good for them. And those, if it goes good for you, simple thing. Don't brag about it. Just move forward. Just move on. Turn with me, if you will, to Hebrews chapter 3. We're also involved with one another by exhorting one another. Hebrews chapter 3. I always use this before we get to this. I like vehicles. I'm getting to the point I'm probably with my last vehicle. I would have be interesting if somebody wants to pay for me to rent a Lamborghini. I don't know if you've ever seen. And that you didn't realize it was rented for me, and my wife Susan and I drove up in the Lamborghini. Would you be happy for me? First of all, you're going to have to help me out of the car. But would you be happy? I'm going to tell you what, I don't think people would. To your face, they would be happy for you. But could you imagine the discussion of the day when you went home? How in the world could a preacher drive such a car, right? Now, you don't know if that person's doing a lot of good in a lot of other ways. You see what I'm saying? Be happy one for another. Someone said, well, Chuck, what about a Corvette? I can't get in it. I can't barely get in my car. So I told my son, I want one of these trucks. But then I thought, no, that ain't work. I'm going to need a ladder to climb up into it. What's our topic of speech when others prosper? You get my point? And now on this, the involvement of one another. Am I involved daily to help one another? Let's go to Hebrews 3 as we read it together, 12 through 14. Beware, brethren, lest there be any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Stop at verse 12. Can I depart? Yeah. Can you depart? Yes. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. We got it lucky today on exhorting one another daily. You know, years ago, exhorting one another daily, you'd knock on their door and go visit them, right? Did a lot of visiting years gone by. You don't do as much visiting anymore. And then we had the telephone. I despise the telephone. I do not like the telephone at all. But that's another way to exhort. Give them a call. What I have learned to like with our new technology is text messaging. I like to text message. Now, don't get me wrong, please. Don't send me a text 4 pages long. text message means a small little text. You say, well, that doesn't show they care. Yeah, it does, because they took time to text you. They took time to text you, correct? You know, I'm going to use Susan this morning. She sent things out. Women do this, men don't. 4th of July, you're sending happy 4th, happy 4th, happy 4th. Men just say, it's another day. You know, she sent one to poor Norman. Norman has no idea what that number is. And he calls us up, and we're a little bit bewildered. Is he sick? Is he in the hospital? What's going on? So my suggestion, when you text somebody, make sure they know who you are. So I put Chuck. If I know that they don't, this is Chuck calling. And that wasn't Chuck, but I like texting. But what I'm trying to say, it takes time. It shows you were on their mind, right? And when someone's not here, it's none of my business why you weren't here. But I can simply say, I missed you. I missed you. Now, you got to be sincere about that. But the point is, there's a lot of things we can do to build one another up. By being together, we build one another up, and individually, we build one another up. And we don't have to tell others who we built up. You know, we're not having a competition. We need to do so because we love one another, and you know what? Because we can fall, and we don't want to fall. And then, of course, before we move on, Ephesians 4:16. Looking at faith, one letter at a time. Involvement in the body of Christ. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 16, passage I use often, it says this, from whom the whole body, who's the body, you and I, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by which every joint supplies according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth for the body of the edifying of itself in love. You know what? I'm glad for every one of you are here this morning. And you have encouraged me by being here. Now don't get your nose bent out of shape. I'm especially encouraged by those who because of medical reasons could have chosen to stay home. But you're here. That's an encouragement. Now, the rest of you are encouragement. Don't say, okay, since I wasn't like that, I'm just staying home tonight. Well, you missed the point. I'm glad all of you are here. But when I see people who have various medical illnesses and there's things that they're going on and they're here with us, I'm impressed. I'm encouraged. I've already been built up by their presence. It's a simple way to encourage others. And then we can do other things. But every part, can a body work when not every part is doing its share? Yes. But can it work as good? No. I mean, just like your physical body. If you break your arm, is that going to affect you? No. But you're still going to function, right? You stub your toe, is that going to affect you for a while? But you're still going to function. Now, I don't want you to consider whether you're the arm or the toe, because your body needs all parts, does it not? Every part doing its share. But let's go on. Teach Christ. See, it all falls in line. But did you notice on each one of these letters who the focus is? Christ. Not me, not you, but Christ. Teach Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 1 through 4. We have recorded for us in the 15th chapter, Paul making this observation statement to the Corinthians. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which you also receive, and wherein you stand. By which you are also saved, if you hold fast that which I preach to you, unless you believe in vain. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I received, that Christ died for our sins. That's very important. Notice, goes back to Christ, the idea of who's our focus, Christ. We take Christ out of the equation, we got a problem, don't we? Christ died for our sins, okay, and that he was buried, verse 4, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. He preached the gospel, did he not? Again, as we look at this, let's go to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 8. We have recorded for us there, verse 8, Paul stating, "To me, who am less than the least of the saints, this grace was given that I should preach amongst the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ." That's a whole lesson right there, the unsearchable riches of Christ. But the main lesson there, it puts you in relationship with God, the Father. I get to share with others, that gives them a relationship with God if they submit to it. How wonderful is that? And then let's go on. And Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. Let's go to Acts chapter 8 and verse 4. I'm going to ask you a question again. Just answer it in your mind. Who's being spoken of here? Verse 4. "Therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word." Who are the those? That's the Christians who departed from Jerusalem, right? If you go back a chapter. What's their names? Have no idea. How much training did they have? Have no idea. Why were they scattered? For being Christians. But now what are they still doing? They're still preaching Christ. Who's on their mind? Jesus. What do they want of others? Jesus. I'm not going to make you try to teach others. We should be excited to want to teach others when the opportunity arises. Would have been best for them to keep their mouth shut when they left Jerusalem. They were persecuted at Jerusalem for being what? Christians. They went everywhere preaching the word. What do you think that involved? The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. And putting on Christ. Our brethren, in an age where there was not any technology like we have, focused on Christ. We got technology galore. And maybe we become lazy because we think the technology will do it for us. It can help, but it's not going to do it. We've got to show an interest. You know, can you imagine the pagans when they heard what was going on that sect called Christianity, and those people are still going everywhere teaching the same thing? It must have impressed some of them. What do they have that they still are opening their mouths? Oh, I know what they had. The unsearchable riches of Christ. So when I look at faith, it's a teaching religion. It doesn't come just by chance. But now there's another way we teach. You know, we need to teach the word because that's where God's power is. Romans 1:16, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's God's power to salvation." But we'll never get to the power of God's word unless they see it in us. So another way we teach is by our example. You know, you could come to services 104 times on Sunday in the year. And 52 times on Wednesday in the year. And still not be pleasing to God. Right? I want to ask you this. Now, I believe we should be here. But I want to put it this way. Do we want to be here? That makes a difference, doesn't it? We can be here because we know it's our obligation to be here, and therefore we're going to be here. But do we want to be here? Do we want to grow? Do we want to study? Do we want to sing together? I'm working on a lesson on the home. That's one of the problems. The problem is that they don't have knowledge. Problem is they don't see it in the individual. What do they see? They see us playing a game. Quit playing the game. Let's teach by example. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I told you some months ago, maybe a year ago, it's been, time goes by quickly, But when Susan and I first become Christians, our neighbor, they knew us before we were Christians and after we were Christians. And the neighbor was a very dedicated Catholic, and he was a little bit bewildered by us because he sees us from not going to services anywhere, period, to all of a sudden going every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night. And he was one. He's, you know, Northerners, we don't have any tact. So one day he asked me, he said, "You and your wife must sin a lot because you sure do go to services a lot." That's his exact words. And I didn't know what to say. I don't think I said anything. It just kind of caught me by surprise. But you know, one thing I noticed? He noticed. He noticed. But it's not just going to services, like I said. It's by living that example. Let's read the passage, verse 14. "Do all things without complaining and disputing." That, you know, I gave a lesson on this months ago about don't complain. And then my wife caught me complaining in the car. And she's nodding her head, yes. I wish I could say the other way. But I was the culprit. It's easy to complain. I mean, come on. That's what most people do, is complain. But it says, "Do all things without complaining and disputing." Why? Why is that? "That you might become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a cruel and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." Okay, let's understand clearly. This is God's power to save, right here. But this can hinder one from being saved by not living like we should. Is that a possibility? And you can go to every single service, but if you're not shining when you're out in the world, you have put a kibosh on this. Now what do? We change. One more passage on that before we come to the last. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. It's an interesting passage to me. You might have a different understanding, I'm not sure. But in 1 Peter 3:15 it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you the reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Now, what's interesting about this passage is that middle part, "to everyone who asks you of the reason of the hope that is in you." So what that leads me to believe, that these Christians during this difficult time manifested a hope in them that caused others to ask them, "How do you have that?" Do others see the hope in us? Or do others see despair in us? Now, if they see the latter, we're not going to reach a whole lot of people because nobody's going to be asking. Nobody wants despair. But they do want hope. But let's go on to the last point. Hope. The hope that is ours. Now, when we talk about faith and H being hope, look at what it says in 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1. I hope this has been an interesting lesson that you go home and restudy. And 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 1, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior, and of the Lord Jesus," what? "Our hope." Okay, let's tie it together. So if they're going to see hope in us, who are we focused upon? Jesus Christ. You see, it started out with Jesus, aim to please Jesus, be a part of the body of Christ of Jesus. And then as we talk about this, the hope. Let's go to another passage. 1 Peter chapter 1. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, tells us here about how this hope is ours. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to his abundant mercy, hath begotten to us a living hope." You know why it's a living hope? Because Christ is alive. "A living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. What a wonderful place that's going to be. You ever get discouraged? If you say no, quit lying. You get discouraged, think about where you're going. You're going home to heaven. Remember that. That's if you're a faithful child of God. That's our living hope. Again, as we talk about this hope, remember Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23. So faith. Faith is focus, aim, involvement, teaching, and hope. The hope that is ours. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 23, it tells us this very simply. If indeed you continue in the faith, grounded and steadfast, and are not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Now, why would we be moved away from the hope of the gospel? Because we get our minds so cluttered with the things that are right now. That ever happened to you? I have to watch out for that. Don't let your mind get so cluttered that you forget about the hope that is here. So as we close, we use the word faith one letter at a time, talking about how important it is, but in each of those letters, it focuses to Christ. Remember, our triumph is in Christ Jesus. We triumph in Christ. Without Christ, you fail. If you're not a child of God, you may not recognize it, but you're failing. And 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. Appreciate your kind attention this morning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, we have recorded for us here something that's so beautiful for us to read. Now thanks be to God who always leads us to triumph in Christ. How many times a triumph? Always leads us to triumph in Christ. And we do that because he beat sin. He overcame death. And so can we. As we close before we sing, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I want to ask you this question before we read this. Do you have the faith that is recorded in the Bible? Are you focusing to Christ? Have you put on Christ? Are you serving Christ? Are you part of his body? Do you have that hope? It's real simple to read. Takes every effort to do. Let's read as we close. Verse 56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, but thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, victory. Well, we just talked about victory through our Lord Jesus. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know what? No matter what comes your way, if you're a faithful child of God, eventually you have victory. You need to remember that. Because none of us know what's going to happen on the days, weeks, and months that happen ahead. But if you have faith that comes from here, understand this, you win. But if you don't, you lose. Now, I don't know about you. You know me well enough. I don't like to lose. I like to win. And I like that Jesus tells me I get to win always, because I have that victory in Christ. But that comes by faith. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God and you need to be baptized, the elders will assist you in your obedience, immersing you for the remission of your sins where you come into contact with the blood of Christ. If you've done that but you're not living like you should, then make the corrections, whatever they need to be. I hope this lesson, I hope you get something out of it. I hope it's not just a time that you thought you've wasted 45 minutes. Because I don't believe it to be a waste if we go to God's Word as we stand and as we sing.